Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, who's traveling. He's in the United Kingdom to address some undergraduates and senior figures at Oxford University with a lecture in these next days, Freedom, Democracy, and the U.S. Declaration of Independence. We're discussing right now Peter's most recent article at Real Clear Politics, which is itself an analysis of a very prominent book, Peter tells me, by Samuel Moyn, professor of law at Yale University, about Cold War liberalism having failed, or as the professor puts it, liberalism against itself. And Peter, we come to your analysis of Samuel Moyn in your essay. And the first is, Professor Moyn is troubled that these distinguished intellectuals, Sklar, Berlin, Popper, Himmelfarb, Arendt, and Trilling, have deviated from liberalism. What is that? What deviation is he thinking of? That threw me.
Yes, it's a puzzling book because his criticisms are very harsh. But then you ask yourself, what exactly are Professor Moyn's premises? Even though he's a professor of law and a professor of history, he doesn't actually lay out his premises clearly, and he doesn't provide anything like enough historical context to know where his argument begins, what the definitions are, and so on. But eventually you come to the realization of the structure of his case. The structure of his case is to announce his own moral and political preferences, and then demonstrate the ways in which Judith Sklar, Hannah Arendt, Gertrude Himmelfarb, Karl Popper, Lionel Trilling, Isaiah Berlin, to demonstrate the extent to which they deviate from Sam Moyn's preferred political opinions. But he doesn't actually show that their opinions are wrong. He doesn't show that they're bad interpretations of history. He doesn't show that they're incoherent. He doesn't show that they lead to bad political results. All he shows is that they deviate from Sam Moyn's own moral and political opinions. So for him, it appears, the deviation is the refutation. I show that your opinion deviates from mine. I'm satisfied that you have been repudiated. That seems to be the logic of his argument.
Your second point is the one that I take most seriously. Of all the remarks that you've made and that I make in my brain as I'm reading Samuel Moyn, the professor believes that the state actor, plus society's understanding of what is right and what is wrong, will correct, will reorient, will re-engineer the individual, overwhelming the individual's sinfulness? Is that too strong a word for this, Peter?
No, I don't think so. The individual's, you might say, simple understanding of his or her place in the world, what's right and wrong, what he or she needs to do to live a happy life. From Professor Moyn's point of view, all of that is inherited, all of that is custom, all of that is traditional. State and society need to work together. Now Professor Moyn uses the language of emancipation to emancipate him. But this emancipation is to tear him or her away from that which has given meaning, order, and structure to his or her life. So So engineering is not too strong a term, a re-engineering of the individual, an engineering of the human soul. And by the way, as a historical matter, who is the author of that? We need to become engineers of the human soul. This is something that Stalin said in 1939, talking to his cronies. This is what he envisaged for the Soviet state, to become an engineer of the human soul.
We come to right now, and Peter presents that Professor Moyne is making remarks that are consistent with remarks that are made by two surprising factions in political life today. One is the progressive left, which is prominent in the Biden administration. The other is something that we can now call the new right, which is either prominent or conversant with the success of Donald Trump's administration first and his campaign now. The progressive left and the new right both are disappointed in classical liberalism, as is Professor Moyne. However, there is a third way, and Peter identifies it. That is to be skeptical of government. How does that work, Peter? How does that help identify what the left and the right find weak or false about liberalism? How would they hear that it's proper, that the founders were proper to be skeptical of government?
Yeah, so we see this strange convergence, elements on the left, elements on the right. They both dislike the idea of limited government because limited government says there's some tasks, in fact, the things of most significance to most human beings that government should stay out of. Now, these days, one might jokingly observe that for the left, that means they don't like limited government because it inhibits their regulation of pronouns. The new right doesn't like it because it wants the government to take a more active role in upholding religion. And they believe that the classical liberal view, or we could just say the American constitutional view, is based on a moral skepticism. What other reason could you possibly have for limiting government other than a denial that there are transcendent norms, that that there is a standard of human excellence, that human beings can be redeemed and saved? It must be this radical skepticism that wants to limit government. And I suppose it could be, but that's not the case in the United States of America, I argue at least. Say, our form of government is built on a kind of skepticism, but it's not a metaphysical skepticism. It's a skepticism about human beings with power. It's a skepticism that observes, based on history, that human beings are fallible, that we tend to put our private interests ahead of our public interests, that human beings tend to seek wealth, status, and power, and especially those people who seek and win election to high office, they're particularly endowed with the desire for wealth, status, and power, and those desires tend to corrupt judgment. So it's not skepticism about the idea that human beings are capable of virtue, but it's skepticism that the people that we entrust with power can actually be entrusted without guardrails. Furthermore, the American system of government, and another reason for limiting government, is because the American system stands for the firm moral conviction that human beings are by nature free and equal. The political translation of that is that we share unalienable rights, no government may invade. And that's how government, on the level of politics, which is a different level from our friendships, from our spouses, from our children, from our extended family, from our civic associations, but it's the way in which government respects us. Government, this distant, abstract, powerful entity, sometimes very concrete entity, can respect us in one basic way, upholding our rights. So so limited government, far from being a skeptical, amoral entity, is based on reasonable skepticism about the exercise of political power, and it's based on an opinion about how to best protect individual rights.
We have less than a minute, and I wanted to make certain I state that your ironic point that most convinced me is that limited government is itself emancipating. Did I read you correctly?
You read me correctly. Not fully, completely, totally, because we are limited human beings, but on the plane of politics, limited government creates room for individuals to act, to live with our friends, families, and communities, right, to pursue the best life as we understand it.
Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution. Samuel Moyn's book, as I recommend, Liberalism Against Itself, Cold War Intellectuals and the Making of Our Times. That would be Peter and myself. This is CBS Out of the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.